Our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed death and brought life to light through the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She has suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and has spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm very positive that everyone here has had the experience of fear, certainly as children and almost certainly also as adults. And for most of us, the experience of fear probably won't be something that's just totally in the past. We know that the saints experienced fear. Just think of St. Peter, as well as the other apostles who fled when Jesus was taken to his crucifixion. Pope Benedict, in a homily right after his election as Pope, asked us for this. He said, "Pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves." And that's Pope Benedict. Even if something right now is not causing fear, it still can be an ongoing phenomenon if we're certain that at some point in the future it's going to hit us. At some point fear is going to get the better of us. The prospect of fear, I suppose, is something that just goes with our human condition, at least as long as we're here on earth. But Jesus wants to give us something which will minimize this fear and eventually enable us to conquer it, enable us to overcome all our fears. In our gospel, we've got two rather curious and interwoven stories of Jesus and profound healing. First, there's the synagogue official, Jairus, who just received the worst possible news that a parent could ever receive. Your daughter has died. There is certainly fear there, because Jairus is already imagining his life of emptiness and emotional anguish because of the loss of his daughter. And what does Jesus say to him but, "Do not be afraid, only have faith"? And he's basically telling Jairus that faith in God's goodness can set things right. Jesus is telling him that faith, which is the unseen force or power of the believer, is far more powerful than anything our fallen world could throw at him. It was faith that brought Jairus to Jesus in the first place, and it was faith that raised his daughter back to life. It was faith that propelled the woman with the hemorrhage to touch Jesus' cloak, even though to doing so there was a risk, because her being ritually unclean, touching Jesus would have then made him also ritually unclean and would have exposed her to punishment under the Mosaic law. But her faith cured her and gave her peace after years and years of uncertainty and fear. Anyway, I think you know the dynamic. When things go wrong in our lives, we can begin to indulge in fear. Certainly begin to lose trust, begin to lose trust in God, faith in God, perhaps. And what we're called to stir up in our hearts every day is a foundational, childlike trust in God's goodness, to stir up trust in his wisdom and power, which is the basis on which that we can overcome these fears. I think that fear can arise from a kind of ignorance of the total reality. True knowledge, especially focusing on the bigger picture, can help take it away. Faith is the supernatural knowledge that takes away every fear. Knowing or being reminded, for example, that God has prepared a place for us in heaven can take away our fear of maybe a material poverty and certainly death. Knowing that God can bring good out of every evil that confronts us can take away our fear of suffering, maybe something from health, our fear of injustice right now. Knowing that God's love will never abandon us can take away our fear that if we live our lives faithfully today as Catholics, we will certainly be rejected, mocked, or persecuted. We don't have to fear those things. You know, we're in the midst of this fortnight focused on religious freedom. And I think it's fair to say that we had what looked like a bit of a setback on Thursday in the U.S. Supreme Court decision that was announced on Obamacare, a decision which most everyone had expected would likely strike down the individual mandate requiring the purchase of government-approved health insurance. And if the court had ruled in a different way, the ruling probably would have brought relief to Catholic institutions who, at least under the law as it stands now, are still required by the government to fund the immoral procedures, including sterilizations and abortifacients. Obamacare also stipulates that taxpayers must pay for free abortions for anyone who wants one. So it's somewhat hard to see what is the way forward for us Catholics who are seeking exemptions, conscience protections from these government mandates. So for those of us, there's probably many of us here who have not yet finished conquering our fears, but we do share a real fear which is based on the anti-life, anti-religious reality of what, at least under law at the moment, our government is demanding, combined with maybe a bit of uncertainty as to what our defense can be. Now, one of the positive things in all this is I saw something on a Catholic website. Hannah Smith, who's the lead attorney for the Beckett Fund, which is leading the some of these suits to get relief from Obamacare, she says that actually this decision on Thursday gives us a basis for hope, because those justices who voted in the majority, they actually pointed out that their ruling had nothing to do with religious freedom. That wasn't the subject that they were asked to rule on. But that, of course, if this law infringed on religious liberty, it would have to be, the mandate would have to be turned back. So actually the decision on Thursday even mentioned that we've got to protect religious freedom. So there's hope there. Nonetheless, our faith reminds us that there's always a much larger reality way beyond whatever we might be focused on here, way beyond a court decision or a government action or anything like that, that could cause fears. Pope Benedict, several years ago, talked about fear in the context of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. And this is what Benedict said. The Holy Spirit overcomes fear. We know that the disciples fled to the cenacle after the master's arrest and remained there out of fear of suffering the same fate. And after Jesus' resurrection, this fear did not suddenly disappear. But when the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost, those men went out without fear and began to proclaim the good news of Christ crucified and risen. They had no fear because they were in stronger hands. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, where the Spirit of God enters, he chases out fear. He makes us know and feel that we are in the hands of an omnipotence of love. Whatever happens, his infinite love will not abandon us. The witness of the martyrs, the courage of the confessors, the intrepid elan of missionaries, the frankness of preachers, the example of all the saints, some of whom were even children, demonstrate this. It is also demonstrated by the very existence of the church, which, despite the limits and faults of men, continues to sail across the ocean of history, driven by the breath of God and animated by his purifying fire. That's Pope Benedict. To the woman afflicted with hemorrhages, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, only have faith." And he knows that in our world, life can be a kind of a pilgrimage through a landscape of possible fears, which we can conquer. So whatever fears we're experiencing, whatever fears might be in our family, in our friends, our neighbors, whether health or emotional or psychological, whatever, we can help to strengthen and heal them also with our prayers. Not because we're so great, because we have all the answers, but because Jesus Christ dwells on us. And again, Pope Benedict encourages us all with these words. If you follow the will of God, you know that in spite of all the terrible things that happen to you, you will never lose final refuge. You know that the foundation of the world is love, so that even when no human being can or will help you, you may go on trusting in the one who loves you.